Love. Some would say it took a backseat when the pandemic forced us apart. As a family-run and proudly Canadian-owned company, Charm Diamond Centers saw the need to bring us together with tales of love and created the Canadian Love Map podcast. Since then, we've shared hundreds of real, uplifting stories that prove love conquers all. So thank you for listening. We couldn't do it without you. And remember, love starts here. What the world needs now is love. More love.
Stars literally aligned.
He's always been the one.
There's someone out there for everyone.
I'm Nancy Regan, your host on the Canadian Love Map. We are on a journey to uncover and share love stories of all kinds.
He's never forgotten to bring me flowers.
We're hoping we're going to give a little good news to this world.
Even in these dark times, the life continues to go on.
It's all about compassion, devotion, adventure, and of course, love.
Everybody needs somebody. Everybody needs love.
This is the Canadian Love Map.
Well, love is the most important thing.
The mobile life of us being able to just, you know, go on the road and live where we wanted to for however long was really appealing. So it was like, all right, get rid of it. We don't need 8 frying pans. Actually, I highly suggest everyone at some point in their life move into 185 square feet and you will see what you actually need to survive versus the 5 different cooking apparatuses you really want.
This week's love story proves that opposites really do attract. Alicia grew up in Newfoundland. Tyson is from Manitoba. He's got a passion for minimalism, and she is a self-described hoarder. Somehow, these polar opposite lovebirds coexist in a retro Airstream trailer. It may not sound like the ideal match, but their relationship is one of mutual love and support, the cornerstone on which Alicia has built 3 businesses and found Tyson to be the kind of partner who empowers her self-belief. Together, they are cutting a unique path and pulling a vintage trailer behind them. This is the Canadian Love Map. Alicia and Tyson, welcome to the Canadian Love Map.
Thank you so much for having us.
Now, I don't think I've ever started this way before, but I'd like to just begin by setting the scene. First of all, the style, I guess, because Alicia, you're wearing a fabulous sweater that features avocados that are sliced open.
And, one of my favorite foods.
Well, you know, and they're so healthy. So I thought it bore mentioning. Tyson, I'm not so sure, you know, that yours is noteworthy. You've got a lovely looking gray sweatshirt. But I, on the other hand, am wearing something very intentional. It's a black T-shirt with an Airstream sketched on it. And it's actually a promotional shirt for my friends Madison Violet, who are a wonderful singing group based in Toronto. But I'm wearing it for a very specific reason, and it's in tribute to you two.
In our clutter bug, of which we're sitting in right now.
You are in the Airstream.
We are, yes.
Awesome. Okay, I cannot wait to hear about how you live in this vehicle, how it's a metaphor for your love and your life, and let's just dive right in. Why don't we talk about who you both were before you met?
Who we were before we met? Well, we met almost 4 years ago. Through a mutual friend, actually on Instagram, age of the tale of the times these days. But before we met, and I guess still, I'm an entrepreneur here in Nova Scotia, in Truro. I'm originally from Newfoundland, and I've been here for, it'll be 10 years this year, actually.
Okay, wait, time out. That's what you do. But who are you? Who were you?
Oh, goodness. I was... Well, obviously not in a relationship when we met, thankfully. And I was kind of blazing my own trail, really. I, as far as love was concerned, I won't say I'd given up because that's not true. But I definitely have a string of flaming failed relationships that I thought, you know what, I'd just rather be alone than keep going down this love map I was making of my own. I was really ready to focus on my life as it was, building my businesses, seeing the world, and, you know, being close to my family and friends. And that's, I guess, who I was before we met.
And then you stumbled upon this fellow. How would you describe yourself before you met Tyson?
I was living out in Alberta and working in construction, and then I was working pipeline, and I guess was kind of just getting disillusioned, I guess would be the word I would use, with the life I was living. And I'd been rolling around the idea of moving and exploring a new place, and a mutual friend said that she had a friend that I would really get along well with, I guess is how she put it. And we started chatting, and I thought it was time to pick up sticks and hit the trail.
Yeah, it was really an East meets West love story.
I love it. So were you skeptical? You know, so many people, when a friend tries to set them up, are like, oh, okay, wait a second. How good can it be? And how much are they exaggerating?
I think it was almost a month between when she had told me that I should get in touch with Alicia and when I actually did, because I was like, yeah, okay, sure, I'll get around to it at some point. I'm sure this isn't going to work out the way you imagine it's going to work out, but...
It's funny that you say that, because I understand the stigma between people introducing other people, but I had gotten to the point where it was like, well, clearly I don't know what's good for me because I can't make good choices myself. So I felt better about the fact of this person who knew the both of us separately so well, and she would never say that if she didn't really think it was a good fit. When she told me about Tyson, I looked him up online. There's no photos of this guy, and he lives in Edmonton. I'm like, well, what do you want me to do with that? I'm not moving out west.
How can I research this person?
Well, that too. So it was like, all right. And then sure enough, a few weeks later, I don't know if she had mentioned it to me or it just crossed my mind again. And so I was like, I'm going to throw out a message and just see what happens. And, That's how it started.
Yeah, I responded to an Instagram story.
That's right. I threw out a story that I thought might bait him into messaging me, and it did, and it worked, and he did. And I told him that a long time later. I was like, you know, I sent that out hoping you would message, and you did. And he was just like, fishing, reeled him in.
I was just going to say, I didn't know this was a fishing story. So you're going to have to tell us about the fish, or the bait, sorry.
What was
the story?
I thought he was a plumber because the friend of mine that introduced us was a plumber, and most of the people that she was interacting with at the time and who I thought she would refer me to was someone in her industry. So it was a meme about a bathroom thing, and you wrote me and said, funny enough, I used to work or live in a campground that could have used that sign, or something like that. I still have it saved.
I think it was an out of order sign or something like that.
Yeah, saved somewhere. And then the conversation just flowed from there and never stopped.
You started with a bathroom post.
Yeah, no joke. Yeah, that is exactly what happened.
Just wanting to clarify that to make sure I've got it right. Yep, and Tyson, you responded. So there you go.
Toilet humor, I guess.
Speaks to the laughter that was yet to come.
And how did it grow from there? Clearly, it didn't get flushed.
We had talked for a few weeks. I was going to be working another season pipelining, and then I had a window of opportunity where work got delayed. So we had been talking about maybe meeting in the spring months from then, and then this opportunity popped up, and I said, well, why don't I come and meet you now and then potentially avoid wasting 5 months chatting if it doesn't actually translate in person, I guess. And
so let me just set the stage a little more than that. We had only been talking over online. And I think at this point, I still didn't even know what he looked like.
Wow.
And he had a space in his schedule. He said, why don't I come visit? I was like, okay, I'm pretty sure they make Netflix documentaries about this scenario and they don't end well.
Could have been top 10 in Canada.
Could have been. And it so happens that I never have time off in my schedule. And I had a week randomly I booked off, and I was like, I'm just going to take this time for me. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'll just leave it there. And so it was kind of interesting how the stars aligned like that, that his work would get pushed for that time. So he bought a one-way ticket to come visit one way in case we didn't like each other and he had to leave like immediately.
I don't want to commit to like a week or something like that if a day is too much.
Oh, that is hilarious. So not only is that practical, but it's also brave and efficient.
I just about had an anxiety attack when I booked that flight. I was like, am I a crazy person? Is this a real person? Am I going to disappear?
I'm like, do I have to send screenshots to people so that they know where I am and who he is? And
well, yeah. Clearly, because this is not a true crime podcast, it worked out okay. This is a podcast about love.
So it really did.
Tell us more about when you first met, like when, you know, that very first moment you saw each other and go from there.
Well, it was pretty wild because he had never been to the East Coast. You'd never been past Ontario, I think.
That's right.
So, but he knew where Truro was, where I was living, because, not a product statement, but because he loved Stanfield's underwear. So that's how he knew where I was.
Made in Truro. That's
made in Truro.
Are you talking then, the briefs or the long johns? Just so we get it right.
Both.
Oh, both. Okay.
Yeah, both. Yeah.
You were in Alberta, so I have to guess that long johns might have been part of your repertoire.
And funnily enough, I had been doing work with Stanfield. So on a whim, I reached out and said, so I've got a first timer coming. He's a big fan of your product. Do you think we could do like a little factory tour? And that is legitimately what we did on one of our first dates.
Stop.
Yeah, I know. How are we not being paid by Stanfield's to like represent the company? I'm not sure.
I want to say this is another definite first on this podcast. We have never heard of a first date touring an underwear factory.
So funny.
It was. And it was a lot of fun. We had a great time.
Yeah, that whole trip was greatest hits of Turo. I was like, oh my God, this place is amazing.
Okay, but let's go back to that. I'm going to zero back to that first moment that your eyes met. What was it like and what were you both thinking? And where were you?
At the airport.
Yeah,
when he walked out of the gate and I was waiting on the other side and it was just like, I'll never forget it. We locked eyes and he just threw his head back and then started walking towards me and I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And that was it. He came over, he planted a kiss on me and away we went.
Wow.
Yeah, I was pretty much like, okay, this person is real and better looking in person, which was a high bar. And this is a great start.
And was your rapport easy right away?
So easy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was ridiculous how easy it was. And just like I said, how everything lined up perfectly, that he had this time off and our conversation was just so easy and it flowed and never felt pressured or awkward. Or actually the most awkward thing was probably all I could think of when my friend sent my profile to him. The two most recent photos I had was a blueberry pie eating contest where I literally had pie all over my face. And the other one was me wearing one of those hairy man body suits. And he still chose to come and see me.
Well, I was like, this person seems like she knows how to have a good time.
Exactly.
Seriously.
I mean, that's fair.
Okay, so I see a food theme. You were obviously promoting Oxford blueberries, and you've got the avocados going, but I don't know where the hairy bodysuit comes in.
I mean, I don't either. Yes, I do. It was because I was filming a promotional video for a CrossFit gym, and I was using it as a joke for all the CrossFit guys that work out with their shirts off. I was like, I'm going to buy this and then I'm going to wear that for the video. And didn't really dawn on me that it might really bite me in the end, but I guess it didn't. You still came.
Nope, that's right.
Tyson, I think it's kind of clear you saw her as a gamer because she was wearing things like that and that she didn't take herself too seriously.
I don't know what I assumed.
I also posted that I had voted, and voting in politics is very important to you. So I think that was really in my favor as well.
Yeah, it really was.
Thanks, social media.
Exactly. So how did the real life relationship, now that you have made the jump from a distance to, you know, social media one to, okay, here we are in person, how did it develop apart from the underwear tour?
We did long distance for the first few years because he was still working away and we were kind of trying to figure out what we wanted to do. Like, my family is here, his family is there, my businesses were here. Could I work remotely? Would we go back and forth? Like, what did we want to do? So we did go back and forth for the first few years. I went up to visit him after Christmas. And then if he was working on a job site that he had his own accommodations and I could visit, I would do that. Mm-hmm. And then when he had a break, when they closed down for like the change of the seasons, then he would come here. Actually, he flew home on March 30th, 2020. And we didn't know if he was going to make it back because we thought they might shut down air travel, close the borders.
Right, yeah.
And then he ended up being here for 8 months straight. So it was like trial by fire. We'd only met each other 4 months previous. And in that time that he was here, we were isolated together four times mm-hmm. Over the span of COVID. But in that 8 months, we renovated the house that I was living in. We did some painting. He built a deck. Yeah, it was a really condensed, almost lifetime together in that first 2 years.
Condensed is right. It's like a really rich sauce that you're making, you know? Oh, I can just imagine. And what was it like for you, Tyson, being locked down with this person that you didn't really know that well?
I was happy to have time off work and then to be able to keep busy with projects around the house. And I guess because everybody was at home at the time, it didn't seem out of the ordinary. Mm-hmm. It was as strange for anyone else as it would have been for us. So we just got in good habits of cooking really good meals and exercising every day and all that kind of stuff. So,
well, we had 3 full months off together while everything was shut down. Like, I was off work for 3 months. So we learned yoga together. We started mm-hmm. doing workouts. We started cooking meals together. Like, it was, I mean, as horrible as it was mm-hmm. also such a gift for us because we just literally got to spend 3 full months really getting to know each other, having conversations, trying things together, and like really testing out the parameters of like, okay, well, we just met and we are literally stuck together for the next 3 months, unbeknownst, I guess.
Yeah, we didn't really know how long it was going to be. We thought it'd be 2 weeks.
Didn't we all? And yet you experienced, like many did, the silver lining in what you say is a, you know, terrible situation worldwide. But you had the opportunity to just really stop and get to know each other. So you got to do things that you both enjoyed. You got to figure out what you had in common. But I assume you also figured out what differences there were between you, what you didn't have in common.
I've never had a relationship like this in my life. Like,
it wasn't really friction points.
No, like, we liked trying craft beers and it was great because I could maybe drink half of one and he would finish it or I'd get to try some of his. We liked the same foods. We started working through like classic movies we'd always wanted to watch. Mm-hmm. We have the same sense of humor. And I know this probably sounds like disgustingly cheesy, but it's true. Like, I mean, he listens to news podcasts pretty much straight through and I will hit a hard limit where I cannot listen to another one.
Yeah.
But other than that, no, like we've driven across Canada twice together in the worst circumstances possible. The first time when he flew down at the end of March for that first COVID lockdown, he was supposed to, I was going to fly up there and we were going to drive his stuff down. We figured, okay, we'll wait because it'll just be, well, however long it's going to be. And it ended up being a year. So we decided, okay, we've been paying for storage. We really have to move his stuff down. We're staring down the barrel of another shutdown. So we flew out and literally made the drive back in 4 days because mm-hmm. nothing was open. And the borders were like, Ontario and Quebec were talking about having to shut down the borders. And we're like, oh my God, we have to make it back. So we would drive like 16 hour days, slept in the back of his truck. Don't recommend that in a Silverado, FYI. And
I thought it was fine.
Oh my God.
The White Knuckle Express. Like, let's just get there.
Well, that like these are circumstances that often like break people or cause terrible fights. But we had a string of podcasts that we loved. we were listening to. Sometimes we switched to music just to shake it up, and then he would pick some music and I would pick some music. I don't think we fought once across that.
No.
Which is unreal.
I feel like food on road trips is the key to happiness.
Oh, hallelujah. It's all about the snacks, really.
That's right.
That's true.
We couldn't share the great stories that we do here on the Canadian Love Map podcast without the amazing support of Charm Diamond Centres. They are Canada's largest family-owned jeweler, and they're proud to be putting love on the map. The folks at Charm Diamond Centres are thrilled to be a part of your love story. So visit charmdiamondcentres.com or one of your local stores. Love starts here. So maybe I got bad information, but you're telling me that you had everything in common. Let me just ask you a pointed question. This Airstream that you're sitting in right now, what is it called?
It's called the Clutterbug.
Yes. And is that a point of difference between you, perchance?
Yes. Okay. So you're right.
That's where I was going. Tell me about that.
I did forget the glaring difference between us, that Tyson holds on to no possessions and has no emotional attachment to anything, doesn't even own any photos or memorabilia, and wow. I am a borderline hoarder. So that's actually how our Eastlink show came to be. We started to put videos up on my Instagram about us trying to meld our very different lives. And it ended up in some pretty funny banter, which had caught their radar, and they reached out to us for a hosting opportunity. So yeah, you're right. That is one big thing we definitely don't have in common.
Yeah, it's a big difference, but not a source of arguments.
No, that's a lot of amazing. Negotiation.
Yes.
So it didn't create conflict, the hoarder and the minimalist?
It's more like a weird interest in trying to understand why you need all this stuff while you're trying to understand why I don't need anything.
Cool.
Like I'd look over at night and he's reading a book about how to survive with less. And I'm like, why are you reading that?
Amazing. Okay. So tell us about the show and how that became part of the evolution of your relationship.
Well, the first show we did was called Road Trippin', mm-hmm. and that was someone else's show that hired us to host it. And the idea was they wanted to put us in an RV and tour around Nova Scotia. And before this, Tyson had told me that if he hadn't met me, his plan was to actually buy a very small Airstream trailer, like the base camp, which is a teeny tiny tuna can of a trailer. And he would live his best bachelor life. So over the years, we had started talking about the possibility of maybe investing in a trailer. I'm like, I don't know if I can do it. So when we got this opportunity, it was a wonderful chance for us to see what really tiny living was like. It was a 24-foot RV. Mm-hmm. Had you'd never been in a trailer or RV before that, had you? Like not living.
Not living, no.
No. So we had that for 2 months, and it was a really good intro. It was like, you know what? Maybe I could do this. It has a lot of storage.
The hoarder realized how many compartments there are in an RV and all the overhead bins.
I could stuff a lot of stuff in there.
Oh, that's funny.
So after that show filmed, we really started to seriously look into what kind of model. And we knew we wanted an Airstream because of their longevity. So we started to pore over videos. Did you have an idea? I feel like we wanted the 23-foot because it's an easier tow. But the
20-foot.
She wasn't going to let go of that extra 3 feet. There's no way.
Oh. Yeah.
And then we went with the 25.
We literally spent his entire birthday that year camped in front of the TV watching these Airstream videos to figure out what layout we wanted, what space we wanted, what we would haul it with. And we eventually settled on the 25-foot Flying Cloud, which is what we have now. Mm-hmm. And we've been living in it full time for actually a year this month, next week.
Yep.
But we've had it for 2 years.
That is amazing. So how have you... Okay, I'm not a hoarder. I hope my husband's not listening to this because he might take issue with this. But I also hold on to things and I'm nostalgic and I just have trouble letting go of things. So I am a clutter bug. I take the same name as your Airstream. Alicia, how did you make that adjustment to downsizing like that? That's, to me, that's incredible.
Oh, Nancy, we had a house that was almost 2,400 square feet that I'd had for 9 years. And the downsizing is not even, I wish more than anything, what I could have done was stored everything we got rid of so you could see the totality of how much went. I pared it down to basically we sold off all the furniture except for one dresser and one chair. Like how much stuff would you say that we have that's not in the trailer? So we have that stored in our garage.
Basically kitchen stuff and some like living room decoration type stuff is boxed away.
I think it was just time. Like a lot of the stuff in the furniture we'd gotten rid of was stuff I had literally was the first sets of things I had bought when I bought my first home when I was in my early 20s. And it was just a good time to really let a lot of it go. I mean, don't get me wrong. There were tears at some point where it was like, I don't want to get rid of this stuff, but I definitely, it was very cathartic. And what was helpful in that, when we had listed the house and we had to box up so much stuff to stage the home, by the time we were ready to move it out, I was like, I haven't seen this stuff in 2 months. And I was able to kind of detach myself from it. So funnily enough, he was reading a book that had suggested that you do this. And I was like, if you start boxing up my stuff to see if I notice, we are going to have a problem.
Oh my gosh. This is like the parenting style with small kids of putting toys away and cycling them. So you bring them out the month later and it's all new to the kids. They don't remember them really.
It kind of was something like that. Yeah. I had a much easier time at getting rid of stuff after it had been boxed up. It was like, you know what? I don't need it. And I really, the mobile life of us being able to just, you know, go on the road and live where we wanted to for however long was really appealing. So it was like, all right, get rid of it. We don't need 8 frying pans. Actually, I highly suggest everyone at some point in their life move into 185 square feet and you will see what you actually need to survive versus the 5 different cooking apparatuses you really want.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, I think we buy houses for those of us who can afford it today, and so many can't, obviously, but people buy houses and then they fill them with stuff. They fill the rooms. I think your story will be inspiring to a lot of people my age who are thinking about making that move away from living in a house to a smaller space and simplifying. And I love what I'm hearing from you, that it's actually been so liberating. What has been the number one thing that it's given you, making this change to living in an Airstream?
Traveling my butt off because we don't have a mortgage payment anymore.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah, so the big trade-off for me was that, well, it was a couple of things, really. We decided to pull the trigger and buy the trailer ourselves because of the show and the opportunities we had to use it for income, create content with it and things like that. And then it was like, okay, well, if we don't have this mortgage payment and these bills, this is how much money we're saving. And we can put that towards all our travel, even if we only do it for 1 to 2 years before we decide to build a house.
That was pretty much the deciding factor.
That was the clincher.
She was really worried about feeling cooped up in a small trailer. But I said, well, think of all the trips you can go on where you have total freedom to go anywhere you want that you'll be able to afford because you're not paying for a big house.
For context, I flew home from Barbados yesterday and in 3 weeks we're going to Greece.
Okay, that's pretty compelling. I gotta say, oh my goodness. Okay, so tell us a little bit about this trailer. Just do a visual tour, if you will, for me.
It's basically a door that walks into a small dinette where we could sit 4 people.
And it also becomes a bed.
Yes, but that's not, we still have a bed. We don't have to turn the table into the bed every night.
It's big enough. That's for guests.
That's right. There's a small kitchen, which I don't mind because I'm the chef, so I knew I could work with it. And across from the small kitchen is Alicia's work desk. Then from there, there's a small hallway with the split bath where on one side is the shower and on the other is
the toilet and sink. And
yeah, basically the rest of the bathroom. And then the quote unquote bedroom, I guess you would call it, is at the other end of the trailer, and it's basically just a mattress with a closet, a little TV.
You are just
storage.
Not selling this for what it is. So the Airstream is very modern and beautiful, and it's like the IKEA of trailers. Like, it has a beautiful gray laminate floor. It has soft leather seats that we're on that you kind of can't really see behind. And it has, is it birchwood? Is the wood we went with? Can't remember.
No, it's a maple.
It's a maple. Like, it's beautifully designed, and it's very comfortable, and it is really... I say it's the minimum space that I could have, but he's convinced that he can talk me down to it.
The 20-footer actually has
oh my gosh.
A kitchen that would be better for me, but I'm not pushing my luck.
Wow.
He's convinced that if we can get to a dealership and he can show me this smaller model, that
she'll
he's,
be convinced.
That's what sold amazing. On this was the desk area, because I do work from home partially. So that was a big sell. We didn't have to worry about like setting up a desk space at the dinette. It has an actual, and it's a standing desk. Like, it's a really incredible thing to have in a trailer, right? Like, it's beautiful.
And a big thing was, I think there's over a dozen windows in here and the skylight. So
Really? Even
though it's a small space, it's very bright and airy.
Yeah, it is very, very airy. You don't feel like you're stuffed in a tin can, which is what I was concerned about. But even the 24-foot RV we had, I was really amazed at how light it was. Like, mm-hmm. people who design these really take into account that natural light is really important. And it's a queen bed back there, FYI.
I'm picturing the Airstream that McDreamy had in Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, I can't remember which one that was. His was definitely bigger than ours. But not by much. But you're right. That is exactly what we're doing. Like, we hope to, I mean, right now it's inside a garage as opposed to on a very nice piece of Seattle real estate.
Yes. But it'd be different if the winters were a little more temperate here.
Yeah, that's right. Winterizing isn't really something you could do in these climates.
So that was my next question, and it's born of ignorance. I was thinking, well, do you have a power source? Do you need to be somewhere where you can plug in and have water running and so on?
We have a bit of both. So we are set up to boondock, which means if you're not on a serviced site or taking water or power from, like, we were at my sister's for a while we were building our piece of land, and we literally just plugged into their garage and mm-hmm. ran a hose to their hose. And then we have water. So it does have a holding tank for water. And we do have a solar powered battery that we can use to power us if we weren't attached to anyone else. But ideally, you're in a serviced site, or like right now where we are on our land, where we have a garage built, the garage has power, and Tyson does truck in water, mm-hmm. which isn't ideal, but it's doable.
It's a temporary fix, really.
Yeah, we're figuring it out.
I think about all the people who were forced together during the lockdown, couples who really struggled because they were forced to be in the same space, both working possibly online and so on. And yet you guys met that way. And now here you are living in this tiny space. Do you often encounter people being amazed that you are so compatible living in a, as you call it, a tin can?
I think a lot of people think we're crazy.
Well, anyone that knows me personally can't believe it. And I mean, I really can't believe it either, to be fully honest. Like, if you had to have told me 10 years ago, like moving to Nova Scotia or before that, that I would sell almost everything I own and move into 185 square feet with a guy and be doing a show about it, as well as like looking at just mobily living, I would never have believed it in my whole life. And I couldn't have done this with anyone else before Tyson. Like, I've never been in a relationship where I could live in this small space and live this life. Like, for many months of the year, I mean, we live here and we work out of the trailer when we're doing the show or on, you know, content things.
Yep.
We're together all the time and we travel together. And I know lots of couples that in our lives that wouldn't do that.
They would be on a true crime podcast.
100%.
Okay. So my question, Alicia, is apart from his cooking, what do you love most about Tyson?
Oh, it made me cry. I think what I love the most about Tyson, other than his excellent cooking skills, I'm fed very well, is that he's so supportive. Like, I've never had such a supportive relationship in my life. And part of that is, like, I share a lot of my life and what we're doing online, talking about, like, loving yourself where you are and you know, entrepreneurial journey and things that we're doing. It's just nothing I would have ever been able to do with someone else. Like, when something good happens to me, he doesn't put me down. He praises me. Like, if I have a bad day and I vent, he's not giving me logic. He's like, who are we mad at?
That's right.
You know, it sounds funny, but it's true. It's the support. You're never intimidated by what I'm doing or how I'm doing it. And that's a real thing. Like, I was in counseling before I met Tyson because I felt like a dumpster fire magnet, and that I just never had a relationship that made me feel supported or that I could do what I wanted to do. And that I always had to make myself smaller and shine less bright to make it work. And I thought this was my lot in life. And then I met Tyson.
And that was always crazy to me, because in any relationship or even a friendship or like a work relationship with someone, you succeed as a team, and other people's success is your success if you're part of a, you know, a group that's all trying to work towards the same thing. So I never understood that, because if someone's your partner and they're succeeding, that reflects well on you. It doesn't, like, their accomplishments doesn't take away from your self-worth or your accomplishments.
Right on. Tyson, what do you love most about her?
I'm just going to grab this.
I'm
Kleenex comes out.
A crazy person who likes to live in a small space. And I come up with a lot of interesting ideas, I feel, on how to live more sustainably and more affordably. And Alicia's a very good sport about it and never makes me feel as crazy as my family makes me feel when they're like, why are you doing that? Do you really need to do that?
We've discovered that Tyson likes to live with a healthy amount of, I don't want to say suffering, but
you said, I think struggle was the word you used, where you're like, think I'm a little bit happier if there's a little bit of struggle.
If someone tells you you can't live that way, or why would you, then he's like, the hell I can't.
It's a little bit of friction.
Watch me.
I love it. You know, I think the person in the world who has probably become the most famous for uncluttering is Marie Kondo. And she has a beautiful expression that I love, that everything that you keep, everything that belongs to you should spark joy or be very practical. And it seems to me that you spark joy in each other.
It is. And he made me watch that show during COVID while we were trying to declutter, and it backfired because he realized everything sparks joy for me. I am a very joyful person.
Yeah. That was a funny realization.
That's like, so great. Well, you sparked joy for me today by telling me your story. I really appreciate you being my guests.
Thank you so much for having it. And, you know, I think it really helped us realize that we really have a Canadian love map relationship that has literally spanned across the country and really brought us together.
Well,
I haven't really thought about it before.
Me neither.
I'm happy to help put you on the map.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye, guys. Thanks so much for listening to the Canadian Love Map. This podcast is presented and made possible by Charm Diamond Centers. It's hosted by me, Nancy Regan, and is produced and distributed by Podstarter. We love sharing love stories of all kinds, and that could include yours. So do you or someone you know have an uplifting tale to tell? Reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram using @CanadianLoveMap, or email producer@podstarter.io. We'll be back next week with another love story to add to the map.